3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your calls, your dialogue and discussion as we discuss issues that we believe to be very serious and things that we need to understand and know and how we need to respond to them, especially as Christians and conservatives and patriots in America. We need to know how to respond to them. We're talking about today defending the faith. In fact, the scripture says that we need to defend the faith that's once delivered to the saints. And I believe we need to defend the faith. It is called in the theological world apologetics. Doesn't mean you're apologizing for something, but it means you're defending it, defending the faith, apologetics. Later on in the broadcast, we'll be focusing on what we need to do, what kind of apologetics do we need to utilize. How do we respond to what's taking place with this transgenderism that's gone totally stark raving crazy in America? How do we respond as Christians, as parents, as pastors, as churches? How should we respond to what's being taught to our kids and grandkids in the public school system? What should we do in relationship to it? Across America today, there's a battle, ladies and gentlemen, that's going on, and it's a battle to control the hearts, the minds, lives, and the futures of our children. They're the targets. They are in the crosshairs of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Now, simply do a little parenthetical footnote to that statement. You see, with the homosexual, the LGBTQIP, and whatever else you add to that, it's increasing every day. But with that group of individuals, there's no reproduction. Therefore, the only way they can increase the number is by recruitment. And we're watching the recruitment, the grooming by the pedophiles and the perverts on a national basis. It's not something that's just in one state. It's not something that's just in one school system. It's not something that's taking place in just one county or city. It's something that's taking place across the nation. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, our children are in the crosshairs of this agenda. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this quickly. In our nation's schools, most of our kids cannot read, cannot write, cannot calculate simple math, cannot spell. In fact, those that can, they're operating, academically speaking, if they're in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, they're operating, academically speaking, at about the 3rd, 4th, or 5th grade level. And yet the major agenda in our governmentally controlled schools today, the major agenda is to sexualize, to weaponize, demoralize, and destroy the hearts and the minds of our children today, recruiting them into the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. We're going to be talking about that major portion of the broadcast, but then there's the transition. How do we respond? What should Christians do? How should parents respond? What are the apologetics, defending the faith that God would have us to carry out? Let me remind you, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you that we face the issues each and every day with you, our listener, in mind. It's a Q&A format. We set the stage, ask the questions. You join in the dialogue and discussion with your comments, your questions in relationship to the issue. We do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. You see, God's word from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation is God's progressive revelation of himself to man. As we study the scripture, there's not one thing that we see taking place in the nation, in our cities and states, and on a global level that God does not already have the answers for us. It's going back to the book, going back to the fundamental truth. And the scripture is very, very clear in John 8:31 and 32, where Jesus says to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, there's a declaratory statement made in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God. The truth of the word of God. And by the way, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. We need to understand that it's not a matter of a passing truth. It's not a matter of a glimpse of truth. It's a matter that God's truth endures forever. It stands without any equivocation. Yet you find those that want to dismantle truth, disagree with truth, debate about truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be happening on a global basis today. We find that to be true. In fact, I'm looking at one article that says, "News giant bans reporters from using key trans word." The Associated Press, which stunningly still claims to be the source of unbiased news, now has banned all journalists from using the word transgenderism, as a new report says. It became that frames transgender identity as an ideology. They say if you use the word transgenderism, it connotes then an ideology, and that must not be connoted or determined in the communication. This article says, who he has explained and a commentary as the Daily Signal, that the organization which publishes a style book used by many journalists is demanding journalists abide by the transgenderism ideology, but that they are not allowed to think of it as an ideology. The Associated Press has said recently updated its requirements and moves way beyond bathrooms and pronouns, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's certainly not truth, but it's reported by news media as being truth. And to find the dissemination of so-called news as being truth coming out of the Associated Press, telling all journalists what they can say, how they can say it, how they need to couch it, so that it comes across as one single voice, which is not true at all. It goes back to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that when we talk about defending the faith, the apologetics that Christians ought to use goes back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said the decline of America is linked to the death of truth. He says, and I quote, "Truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation." This is so vital today, ladies and gentlemen. I could spend the balance of the broadcast just talking about how vital it is for us to understand what is truth, the source of truth, and what we need to do to get back to truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, when Jan Hus was being burned alive at the stake, he screamed out, "Truth shall prevail." And I believe that could be screamed from the tallest mountain in America today. Truth shall prevail. Right now, we're being inundated with falsehoods, being inundated with lies, being inundated with demonic deception on a large, large, broad scale in our nation. But truth shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Town is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. It's at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, an easy way to find Tools for Time. 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open, 904-831-0917. We're talking about defending the faith. Defending the faith, and our focus will be on our kids and what's taking place with the sexualization, the weaponization, and the grooming of our kids in the public school. But it goes much broader than that. It is an entire idea, mindset, demonic delusion that's taking place across America today. We have those that believe that God's word is a lie. We have those that believe that God said it and that does not settle it. We have those that believe that somehow God made a mistake. We have those that believe that although you might be biological birth as a male, that you can transition and become a woman. Those that are biologically birthed as a female, that somehow there's the delusion, demonic delusion, that you can make a transition and become a male, even though you were born female. Ladies and gentlemen, you might butcher body parts. You might use a barbaric method of making one look different. That does not change the DNA, does not change God's creation, does not change how God created you. And I understand there are a lot of people that will disagree with that. By the way, I'd love to have someone call that would disagree, that would tell me why, how can you prove to me that God made a mistake, that somehow, some way, that you may be a woman trapped in a man's body, or man trapped in a woman's body, and somehow, some way, God made that error. I want to hear from you. Love to hear from you in relationship to that. A recent survey indicates, ladies and gentlemen, that the majority of parents say that their children's education and their educational process should be left up to the state. Listen carefully. I watched on one of the major network news programs this morning about 6:30 in the morning, and they had a large chart that was displayed, and it showed the parents were asked the question, who should be responsible for your child's education? 26% said the government's Board of Education should be responsible for the child's education. Then they had 12-15% saying it should be the governor. Some said it should be the local school board. Some saying it should be this, that, or the other. But only 25%, the majority being in a whole category other than parents, and only 25% in that survey, 25% of those surveyed said that it's the parents' responsibility to train that child. It's the parent's responsibility to ascertain and determine what that child gets as an education and what they're taught. Only 25% of a whole pie of 100%, only 25%, that means 75% feel that it is some responsibility of someone or something else other than the parents to get that child's education and to make sure that child is properly trained. According to the survey, it says that the parents are the ones who are supposed to get the child's education, responsible for it, only 25%. Across America, most students are not up to grade level, ladies and gentlemen, in spelling, in reading, math, English. In fact, you can take 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, might be academically operating at the level of a third, fourth, or fifth grader. Now, those are actual statistical facts across America and our educational system. Let me just do a little backtracking and a side note. The major, if I could emphasize that again, major problem in America today. Most parents get up in a rush, snatch some kids out of bed and get them dressed, and then let the yellow school bus come pick them up. The parents are relieved because that child is out of their hair, out of their, out from under their feet for the balance of the day. Then that school bus brings them back in afternoon. There may be a get together for dinner time. Most parents do not anymore. And then that child is shoved off to bed, where maybe that child has gotten some kind of training that day academically, but very, very, very minuscule in amount. But the responsibility, according to the scripture, is none other than the parent's responsibility. Ladies and gentlemen, every school district today, every school leader today, every school counselor today are pushing an immoral, ungodly, unholy social agenda, a social agenda. I'm looking at an article that goes beyond just the classroom, goes beyond just what we've talked about in recent days about the big box stores and the large corporate entities that are pushing the sodomite LGBTQ transitional surgeries and the transition that supposed transgenderism that supposedly is possible. But even the kids shows now, I'm looking at one that says iconic children's show shoving Pride Month down kids' throats. Happy Pride, Elmo says. Elmo says, I love you. On Thursday, iconic children's TV series Sesame Street went in all out once and again for June's Pride Month, with several tweets celebrating the sexually based month of recognition. And the gay lobby claims they aren't targeting children? Question mark. Firstly, this article reads, we must remember that Sesame Street is supposed to be aimed at tiny tots from 2 years old to five. This show, this should be an age where sexual activities should not ever be discussed in part at all. But here is the most iconic kids' TV program pushing Pride Month on little ones. The first Pride post was made on Thursday as Pride Month kicked off. It featured actress Arena DeBose, who claims to identify as queer, and a video in which she explained the show's Pride celebration. Quote, hi, Elmo. I just wanted to share that everyone is always welcome on Sesame Street, DeBose said in the video. This month and every month, we want to uplift and celebrate the LGBTQIP plus family, friends, the community, Elmo said. From our Sesame Street family to your family, happy Pride Month. Elmo loves you, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's indoctrination from the cradle following, from the crib and upward. It is indoctrination. So why would that be needed? Why would that be so? Child's not even old enough to know his name or how to spell his name or his real age at that point. And yet there's a push to sexualize that mind of that child. We have fallen a great distance, and we're watching this satanic, demonic aura encapsulating all of America. But today we're going to go through the process of what is happening and then an approach that needs to be taken, what families need to do, an apologetic and a way to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go ahead with your question or comment, please. Jim, are you there?
Hello?
Jim, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am here. Hello.
Go ahead with your question.
Oh, hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Outstanding. The Department of Education, if I remember correctly, that was established in 1977. I think that was one of the...
I thought it was 72. It may be 77.
72? I don't remember.
I think
when.
It was 72. I know it was under the poor, pitiful leadership of Jimmy Carter.
Oh, then it had to have been after 76, because yes. Carter was 76 to 80.
You're right.
Because it was Ford, and then Ford was a couple years because Nixon resigned in,
right,
I think, the second year of his second term.
You're right. Something absolutely.
Anyway, if you look at the statistics from the Department of Education since its inception there, the actual cumulative grade scores have gone down. Now, I'm not one to blow my own horn, but I recall distinctly taking, they used to have Iowa basic California CAT testings.
Yes.
In schools back in the day. And me and my friends were consistently scoring in elementary school. We're consistently scoring high school, and in high school we were scoring, you know, lower college. But if you look at those numbers since then, the education, they're not focusing on what the children need. They're, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic. They're not teaching civics. They're teaching them just enough to be able to flip a switch or sit behind a board and watch a screen, but not enough to critically think themselves outside of a, for lack of better terms, critically think themselves outside of a wet paper bag mm-hmm. to keep the current administration in power through grifting and other means of, look what Uncle Sam's doing for you, cradle to grave. I know my grandmother, I recall her and my grandfather very, very, very distinctly saying, you know, you're responsible for your own behavior. You know, mm-hmm. government's not going to help you out. If anything, they're going to take from you. And I grew up listening to that. I don't see it today.
Don't see it at all. And, Jim, one of the major, major problems is U.S. Department of Education is about as wretched as it can be. What's her name, Jimmy or Jamie Weinberger, the lesbian that heads up the U.S. Department of Education, and the major, major, major push, not the U.S. Department, she's heading up the school union, head of the school union, U.S. Department of Education.
Well, there's no conflict
union.
There, is there?
No conflict at all. The major, major problem is that there's the mindset that the government owns that child, the government has the responsibility, and is taking, usurping the responsibility of parents in training. But many are not aware, and you may or may not be aware of this, that when, I think it was, going back, I think it was March, April, or May of 2017, Trump was president, and he gave an executive order for Betsy DeVos, that was then head of the U.S. Department of Education, to start going through the process of dismantling and shutting down the U.S. Department of Education, remanding all education back to the state level so that the states could remand education back to the local level. That never happened. It quietly was ignored and never took place. And therein lies the problem. I believe the worst-case scenario
exactly.
in America today is the U.S. Department of Education demanding and usurping the authority of parents, demanding that they know how to teach the child better. But the thing, Jim, that surprised me was watching that survey on Morning News. I believe it was on, it wasn't on Fox, it was one of the other networks, where out of all of the supplemental areas and all the departments and areas of belief, where parents believe that, in fact, one, I think it's about 15%, that parents said the governor should be responsible for the child's education. But 26% said the U.S. Department of Education, the educational department, should be responsible. And out of all of the numbers, only 25% said the parents are responsible. And that's the correct answer. It's the parents' responsibility. But I was sad to see only 25% made that statement. 25% is a pitiful number. And that's the reason I see so much taking place in our schools, that parents are just going along with because they do not want to shake the boat, rock the boat. And also, Jim, I believe it's because parents are petrified because the Department of Justice with Merrick Garland, with the document sent to the FBI a little over a year ago, that parents are considered domestic terrorists if they challenge the school board. So too many parents are sitting back in silence because of being afraid of what the government might do to them. I think therein lies the problem.
Yes, sir. Well, I know that as a taxpayer, my millage on my home pays for Duval County school system there. So even though I don't have children in that school, I do have a right to say what they're promoting.
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't know that little fact there, but you, even though you might not have children in school, you still have a right to say what they're doing with your tax dollars.
Still have a right, still have a voice, and I am thankful that Dr. Green, Diana Green, is no longer superintendent of schools in Duval County. She was one of the promulgating pushers for literally ignoring the state law about teaching CRT in the classroom, about teaching the sodomite LGBTQ agenda, even taking some of the taxpayers' money that was funding the school board and transmitting that out of the back door, as I call it, for Jasmine Club over in Orange Park. That's literally picking up boys and girls on the street, helping them to transition, giving clothing to little boys that looks like make them look like girls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I find it disingenuous to call that education. But, Jim, one of the major problems is we're not looking at it, generally speaking, as defending the faith. In fact, in the scripture, it's very, very clear, according to the Word of God, that all of our children, Psalms 127, the Bible says that our children are heritage from the Lord. According to Proverbs 22:6, the parents are charged with the responsibility of training up a child the way he should go. When he will have become old, he will not have departed from it. But yet we have parents today that's failing to be obedient to God's word. And we're seeing our kids being sexualized, weaponized, and groomed for the pedophilia into the life of pedophilia and or the perverts in general that's destroying their morals, ethics, and values. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, transgender surgery leaves people lonelier, depressed, and can cause depression to the point of suicide. And yet we're pushing that on our kids today. We're destroying this and the next generation without any question whatsoever. Jim, thank you so much for joining in the discussion. We can keep praying, keep looking up. God's still on the throne. He's not abandoned us. But I believe that we might face God's judgment as a result of what we're doing in our nation today. It's going beyond Sodom and Gomorrah, in my most humble opinion. Thank you so much, and God bless you for your call.
God bless you, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about today defending the faith. It is called in theological circles apologetics. It comes from the word apologia. It means to defend the faith. It means to take a stand for what the Word of God says. Our kids today, 2 to 5 years of age, are being indoctrinated, introduced to visual introduction of sexual practices that push the LGBTQ agenda. They're being sexualized. They're being groomed. They're being pushed into a lifestyle that will ultimately destroy them and their lives. Looking at a headline, school district tells gym teachers to wear gay flags, use preferred pronouns to make the class more inclusive. Ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from the top down. It's coming from the U.S. Department of Education and then most state departments of education. Now, Florida's vastly different, but still guilty. And then to the teachers and the teachers teaching in the classroom. This article says, a Colorado school district encouraged its physical ed department teachers to don, that is to wear, to put on LGBTQ pride gear and to use preferred pronouns in an effort to display their support for the LGBTQ community. Now, let me just pause there. Do you see anything in any headlines, any news, any school leader, any school superintendent saying, let's wear a cross on our lapel so that we will make the Christians feel comfortable? Let's read a Bible verse so that the Christians will be at home. Let's pray and talk to Jesus so the Christian community will not be left out. You don't hear that at all. But the mindset is to try to appease and to condone and to embrace and to celebrate what is about 3 to 4%, maybe 5% at the most, of American society. This article says on March the 8th, a group of Jeffco, J-E-F-F-C-O, public school, high school teachers were trained on how to make the school's PE programs even more inclusive, where all students feel welcome regardless of their race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation, according to the presentation obtained by DCNF through the public records request. Teachers were trained to engage in public visibility by sporting some sort of rainbow pride gear, such as a pin, a t-shirt, a plan to participate in the pride events and parades during the course of the month of June. Ladies and gentlemen, therein lies the problem. We're watching the erosion of our kids and their morals, ethics, and values, and it's being done under the guise of sexual health and general education. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute top of the hour news break. After that, we'll be right back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues.
Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkestone, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. From parts of the Great Lakes to the Northeast, south into the Carolinas, air quality alerts in place because of smoke from scores of massive wildfires burning north of the border in Canada. The graduation ceremony had just wrapped up for high school seniors, Richmond, Virginia, when shots rang out. One grad and a 36-year-old man were killed. Along with the two deceased victims, five other people wounded in the attack, and a 19-year-old suspect is in custody. After a year in the job, Chris Licht out as chief executive at CNN. His departure follows a series of missteps, along with plunging ratings. And Pope Francis in a Rome hospital for abdominal surgery to be performed today. He's expected to be in the hospital for several days. The Dow up 72 points. More details, srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to having your call with your discussion, your questions, your comments, dialogue in relationship to the subject we're talking about today, defending the faith. The scripture says we need to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. Defending the faith, theological academic term is apologetics, apologia. That's not talking about apologizing for something, but to take a stand for the faith that God's once delivered to the saints according to the scripture. We need to take a stand. We're talking about today, as a part of that defending the faith, we're talking about what's happening in our school system. The absolute deterioration of anything that's called morals and ethics and values, the destruction of the educational process with students that are graduating from high school that cannot appropriately read, write, spell, or with the proper English grammar. And as a result of that, you're seeing that void being filled with the sexualization and the weaponization and the grooming of our sons and daughters in the public school system. As I spoke just before the broadcast about the survey that's been taken and find only 25% of the parents believe that the parents have the responsibility of the proper education for their child. 26% say that's the responsibility of the government. About 12 or 15% said the governor has that responsibility. And on down the list, but out of the 100% survey respondents, only 25% of the parents believed that they had the responsibility of teaching and training their sons and daughters. The Bible is very, very clear that says that our children are heritage from the Lord. The Bible is clear that Proverbs 22:6 says, a parent is training up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. The scripture, it instructs the parents to teach our children, not the government-controlled schools, but in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, very, very clear that the parent's responsibility is training that child in the Word of God, training that child morally, ethically, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically as pleases the Lord. I believe we have Nick on the line. Nick, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Just first of all, I'd like to thank you for stepping out and doing this show. It's really amazing. But as for me and my wife, we homeschool our kid. I agree with that. We try to raise our kids as long as we can, working at homeschool.
Congratulations on homeschooling. I highly commend it. Go ahead.
Thank you. And so my question is boycotting. So a couple of days ago, you were talking about boycotting certain things like the Chosen show about because they're flying flags for pride and all that. But my question to you is, and I agree with probably not flying flags or wearing T-shirts, but how are we supposed to show love in Christ when we're boycotting these things and not allowing gays and lesbians to work for us? When if they work for us, don't you think that we can show love through that and show the love of Christ through that? But, I mean, I agree in boycotting certain things and stuff like that, but how, as a Christian, are we supposed to stand up to these immoral things as far as the LGBTQ and all that and still show love?
Nick, that's a good question. Shall I hang on just a moment? Let me ask you a couple of questions. How many children do you have?
I have one.
You got one child. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever spank that child?
Yes, sir.
Do you hate that child because you spank him?
No, sir.
You hate, you love that child, therefore you discipline that child, don't you? You look at the scripture and you find Jesus was the epitome of love, but yet when he walked into the temple and found the money changers, what does he do? He gets a bullwhip and beats the tar out of them and chases them out.
Yeah.
Because he loves them. If we love our child, we're going to discipline the child. The scripture is very, very clear that God disciplines us because he loves us, not because he hates us. And as Christians, we need to take that stand out of love. The stand is saying that what you're doing is wrong, what you're doing is sin, what you do will send you to a devil's hell, lest you repent and turn your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So it's not disavowing love at all. It is the implementation of what is called love and the vivification that we love them enough to tell them the truth. We must stand on the truth of the Word of God without any feeling that somehow, some way, somebody might hate us. Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 18 and following said, remember, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. If the world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you. As Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, we need to take a stand for the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, regardless of what the world says. And by the way,
amen.
Another part of that, there's some preachers, some churches that will preach and teach and say that somehow, some way, you need to bring the LGBTQ sodomite community into your church. Love them, embrace them, let them participate in the life of the church. Dr. J.D. Greer, two or three years ago, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, that was his position, that you need to love them, bring them into the church. Listen very carefully. You do that. And within just a few months, you're going to wind up with major problems with one that is sexually immoral, one that's living that lifestyle, that's in the church, that's going to destroy the life of a young child, young boy, young girl, in one of the bathrooms. The church then is on the hook, if you will, legally, because of allowing that. It is the matter that listen carefully. Some have challenged this. We love the one that's committing the sin. But they cannot be brought in and a part of the church. If they want to come in and hear a gospel message, respond to the message, fine. But the Christian's responsibility is to go out on the highways and hedges and lead them to Christ and then bring them into the church. The church is the place where Christians meet to worship, and they are gathered to worship and scattered to witness. It's our responsibility to make sure that the church is the bride of Christ. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and following says the bride of Christ should be spotless and without blemish and without sin. Doesn't mean that we're perfect at all, but that's the position that God sees us. So, Nick, you're exactly right. We need to love people, but we need to take a stand to protect our families, our homes, and the biblical values, defending the faith once delivered to the saints. I pray that that'll be a blessing for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted today to have a guest that's going to be with us for the balance of the broadcast today. It's one that I believe you'll find interesting, challenging. We're delighted to have Alex McFarland with us, Alex McFarland Ministries. Alex is a global speaker, as a Christian apologist. He's the author, he's an evangelist, and an associate, or an advocate, that is, for biblical truth. Alex has spoken to audiences on a global basis. He's preached in over 2,000 churches. He speaks at Christian events, conferences, and debates. Alex has spoken for Fox News and other major media. He's been on Billy Graham Decision radio broadcast, Focus on the Family Radio, and BBN Network. Alex can be heard daily on the American Family radio broadcast. Alex, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Delighted to have you. Thank you for taking a time, brief time, out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much. And I just so appreciate all that you stand for and your courageous proclamation of truth. It's an honor to be with you.
It's an honor for us to have you with us today, Alex. By the way, just as a little precursor, I have a book that I didn't put the names and how would you say name and face and information together. I have a book called 100 Bible Questions that I have used on several occasions. Find it to be interesting and challenging, very well written, to find that on the front of the book it says Alex McFarland. And I told my wife last evening, I said, you know that book?
Lord.
I said, you know that book that we have read with the 100 Bible questions? She said, yeah. I said, well, you know, the one that I'll be talking with tomorrow on the broadcast is the author of that book. So thank you for writing the book. Thank you for the in-depth details that you give in the book and the opportunity that we have with that. And by the way, during the course of the balance of the broadcast, I'm going to ask you to talk about that book and let the people know how they can receive a copy of it. Alex, would you take just a moment and share with our listeners, what is your greatest passion? What is it that you're doing as a biblical apologist? What do you do? Why do you do it?
God bless you. Well, I do what I do, whether it's, you know, preaching the gospel, the simple message of salvation, or whether it's debating an atheist at a university. I'm doing it for the glory of Jesus and hopefully for the to contribute to the salvation of this country. And so I was not a likely candidate for ministry, but I became a believer when I was in college through a little Baptist church that had a Monday night Bible study, and the Lord got a hold of my life when I was 21 years old, and right away I realized that so many of my friends were not believers, and I was just trying to witness, just a baby Christian. I was trying to lead my friends to Christ, and they had a lot of questions. And Dr. Youngblood, I stumbled across the books of Josh McDowell, and later that just led me to read all kind of other books. And I discovered, and this is the late 1980s, but Christian apologetics, which is, as you so well said, not apologizing, but it's defending the faith. 1 Peter 3:15 says that every believer is to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that you have. So I got into apologetics because I wanted to grow in the Lord and lead my friends to Christ. And lo and behold, 30 years has gone by, and more than ever, our nation needs a revival and a spiritual awakening. And we, as I met some of your family and some, I believe, from your church at a Christian youth camp this week, and you and I have gotten to be friends just very in the last several days, but I'm just a guy that's trying to evangelize the lost and equip the saved and raise people's awareness of how desperately our country must return to the Word of God and the principles on which we were founded.
Alex, well stated. Let me just put our finger on a real issue for the sake of time. We're in a what's called the woke culture mindset, and a part and parcel of that is the destruction of the boys and girls in the public school arena with the brainwashing, sexualization, and the grooming that's taking place. How do you respond to that? And for the benefit of our listeners, what do you say to parents, grandparents, that their grandkids and their kids are faced with that? What is your recommendation? What is your counsel to them? And talk about it for a few minutes of what's happening in our schools. What's taking place with the transgenderism? What's taking place with the brainwashing? And how do we respond? What is the defense for the faith for the listeners that they might implement that in their lives to to preserve the lives and the future of their sons and daughters?
Well, great question. Let me say that the battle, there was a man in the Humanist magazine during the Clinton years, a man named John Dunphy. He was an atheist and a militant humanist, and he said the battle for the future of America and for the soul of mankind must be fought in the public school classroom. And I'm not going to use the base language he used, but he denigrated America and Christianity, and he advocated for this globalist utopia, and that generations of public school children would be eventually groomed to believe in secular humanism. Dr. Youngblood, right now on my computer, I'm staring at a picture from my home state of Raleigh, North Carolina. This was the North Carolina Public Schools a couple of years ago. They were having a big teachers' convention in Raleigh. And a reporter from the Raleigh News and Observer, he shared this photograph. Reporters were not allowed to take cameras in. This man discreetly took a picture with his phone. There's a banner. It says, "Spread the gay, infect the world, convert the children." Now, this was the North Carolina public school system, and basically there was the admonition to inject LGBTQ trans content at every level, K through 12. Spread the gay. That was the theme. Now, this is behind closed doors. And one thing that I always ask, like if I'm in a debate or a conversation, if LGBTQ trans and socialism and Marxism, radical environmentalism, if all of this is so good and true, why do the leaders make their plans in a clandestine, hidden way? Why do they want to be secretive and not let the parents know what the curriculum is all about? And you and I know the reason is because there is a movement going on to try to destroy America by destroying generations of young people. And I know this might sound alarmist, but my goodness, I was aware of the winds of culture 30 years ago, and I suspect you were too. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Nowadays, nobody, you know, if you read the newspaper or just watch the news, you can't have your head in the sand. Everybody would have to realize that there is a battle on, an absolute struggle for the future survival of America. Now, preachers sometimes reprimand me. And I know, look, I was a youth pastor for 11 years.
Join the club.
Pastored, and pastored two churches. I am keenly aware of the dynamics of being a senior pastor. And every now and then, pastors will reprimand me, and they'll say, well, you know, Alex, God didn't call me to save America. God called me to evangelize lost people and make disciples. I get it. But here's the thing. Until we get to heaven, as Augustine said 1,600 years ago, until we are in the city of God, every Christian has an obligation to the city of man. We do. We're to be salt and light. And so I just think about, you know, if they say roughly 100 million Americans are in church every Sunday, almost a third of the country, and 500,000 clergy, senior pastors and staff, 500,000 clergy are interacting with 100 million Americans every weekend. And if the pastors and the church leaders were telling their parishioners, look, if you're a born-again Christian, you cannot vote for a Democrat because Democrats hate God, they're against religious freedom, they're pro-LGBTQ trans, they want to subordinate the U.S. Constitution to the United Nations, they're open borders, they're bringing in drugs from the southern border that are killing a 250,000 Americans a year. The bottom line is if the clergy were really doing their job and imparting a biblical worldview to 100 million adult parishioners, we would see this nation turned around in a matter of weeks. But here's the thing, and my dear mother was, she's in heaven now, my mother was a public school teacher for 28 years. She was a devout Christian. She retired, you know, 20 years ago, and she's in heaven now. But my mother, even 20 years ago, was saying the public school system is beyond redemption. Now, I know there are some godly teachers valiantly trying to stand for truth, but for parents of children that love the Lord and care about the future of America, we've got to get the kids out of these indoctrination camps.
Absolutely.
For wokeness.
Absolutely.
And there's homeschooling, there's classical education, there's Christian schooling. One last thing, Dr. Youngblood, I've got to say this. I was in Modesto, California to speak at a high school. And I get invited to speak and give talks, and I can basically share the gospel in a public school merely by quoting our founding fathers. And it's nice and legal. But, you know, it's amazing. I'll quote George Washington, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and the founders, and some of their quotes are so wonderfully Christian that, you know, it makes the public school administrators nervous. But here's my point. I was in Modesto, California to speak at a public school, and a fight broke out, and I watched as the principal and the leaders just absolutely could not bring the auditorium under control. I mean, it turned into a brawl. I never got to speak. Well, about a week after that, I was in Colorado to help judge a debate of homeschoolers. And there were 2,000 homeschoolers. And the contrast was like two different worlds. In the public schools, there are metal detectors, policemen, and barely literate students. I go to the homeschool convention, and I'm telling you the honest truth, middle schoolers were translating Thomas Aquinas from Latin to English, mm-hmm. and having mock debates about the Constitution and drafting legislation. And so I honestly believe, as has been the case very often throughout history, literacy, morality, truth, accomplishments come from the church. And I wish our culture were not so fragmented and vulnerable. But once again, it will be the people of God, Christ's church, that will be the custodians of truth, of morality, of order, of the family. And so every one of us who knows Jesus, we've got to be the best we can be for God and country and for the future.
Absolutely. Spot on. I couldn't have said it better myself, Alex. One of the things, and you may be aware of this survey by Barner with the Barner Report, according to George Barner, only 4%, and I'm touching on this because you were speaking about how many pastors stand and preach and how many people that they have influence over each weekend and a worship service. Only 4%, according to the Barner Report, 4% of executive pastors, whatever that connotes, 4% of executive pastors have a biblical worldview. Only 11% of preaching pastors have a biblical worldview. Only 13% of youth pastors have a biblical worldview. And with that being said, a footnote to that, a separate report from Barner Report, says that only 4% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, only 4% have a biblical worldview. And out of that 4%, 57% believe that homosexual lifestyle is okay, believe that lying, if it is necessary to protect your what you're doing, is okay, drugs are okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, that tells me why we're in the pitfall that we're in today, morally, ethically, biblically, theologically, spiritually, in our nation. So with that being said, what would be your advice, your understanding of what you would say to a parent, a individual that says, well, I'm in a church where my pastor will not say anything about an election. I'm in a church where my pastor doesn't say anything about the LGBTQ. Or I'm in a church where my pastor says we need to bring the LGBTQ people into our church. I don't know if you heard me earlier say one of the former Southern Baptist Convention presidents, Dr. J.D. Greer, said that the church needs to love the LGBTQ, and that goes further, and bring them in and embrace them and let them be a part of the church fellowship. Now, therein lies the problem, the underlying problem, I believe, that brings us to where we are today. I believe the U.S. Department of Education needs to be dismantled. I believe that State Departments of Education needs to remand education back to parents. And as you've said so eloquently, I believe that parents need to take their kids out of the governmentally controlled schools and put them into home schools, parochial schools, charter schools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that a mom without any academic credentials can do more in educating that child in 2 hours a day than the public school system can 8 to 10 hours a day. So what are your thoughts on that? Because as we look at what we see taking place with the CRT being taught, with the sodomite agenda being taught, and I say that, and some people get a little uptight. Scripture speaks of it as that. I believe it's 36, 38 times. You don't find the word gay or homosexual in the scripture, but we do find the scripture talking about this LGBTQ sodomite agenda. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And yet our kids are being seduced, groomed, and brought into that. So with that being said, Alex, I'm looking at one headline that says, suspended coach and daughter reinstated after protesting boys and girls' locker rooms. How do you respond to the fact that our schools now allowing the boys into the girls' locker rooms? They're allowing boys to compete with girls in the sports that are normally girls. What are parents to do? How should parents do that? And how do they sustain themselves? What is the answer biblically from an apologetic defending the faith standpoint?
Wow. Wonderful, wonderful question and content that you set forth there, Dr. Youngblood. Well, let me just say this. The surest way to lose a battle is to not know that you're in a battle, to not acknowledge. And life is short, and I would appeal to every Christian parent, and certainly every minister. 1 John 2:28 says that we are to abide in Christ, that when he appears, we may have confidence before him and not be ashamed at his coming. And I would say this, you know, so many pastors are meek as a mouse. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken in 2,000 churches, pastored 2 churches. I love the church. I've given my life to the gospel and to the church. But I'm going to say the majority of American pastors are B-grade motivational speakers, mm-hmm. rather than prophetically calling sinners to repent and preaching righteousness. Now, early in the question you asked, what should people do? Prayerfully, respectfully, lovingly try to make change. But if the pastor that you're sitting under and the church that you're a part of is milquetoast and basically useless to the battle in which we're in, you got to go somewhere else. I mean, life's too short.
Absolutely. Alex, don't want to cut you short, but we got just a few seconds left on the broadcast. Take this moment to let our listeners know how they can order a book from you, 100 Biblical Questions, and how they could, if they want you to speak in their Christian school, their group, et cetera, give some contact information very quickly for our listeners.
God bless you. Well, my website is simply alexmcfarland.com. My name, alexmcfarland.com. And then my books are everywhere. And I got to tell you really quickly, the 100 Bible Questions book that you referenced, thank you for buying that. When the publisher published that, they called and they said there's a major national bookstore chain. If you'll take out the 2 questions that deal with homosexuality, we'll sell an additional 30,000 books. You'll get a $5,500 commission if you'll drop those 2 questions. And I said, I can't do that. Sorry.
Amen.
We got to stand for truth. AlexMcFarland.com.
Alex, thank you so much. God bless you, brother. Thank you for taking a minute to join us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville.